Coming up on this episode of Nintendo Cartridge Society, technically every episode of this show is downloadable content. It's dangerous to go alone, so the Nintendo Cartridge Society goes with you. Welcome to Nintendo Cartridge Society. My name is Patrick Ellers, and I am joined, as I am always joined, by my co-host, Mark Mitchell. Mark, how's it going?
It is going.
Thank you.
Great. Patrick, I want to ask you a question, but I also kind of want to take a guess at what I think your answer is going to be.
Okay. Do you want to answer the question before you ask it?
No. Okay. I think I'll ask it.
Okay.
And then I'll I almost want to write down my answer on a piece of paper.
Oh, okay.
And then, see if I was right or not.
We're skilled enough actors / improvisers. We can pretend that that's what you're doing right now.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, great.
Yep.
So Mark has handed me an envelope.
That's right. Previously sealed.
Yes.
Before we started recording and verified by my husband that, in fact, was previously sealed and not tampered with.
And you've never met that man before, right?
No. Sealed in this plastic cube that has been sitting at the table where we've been recording this entire time. Okay.
Frozen in a block of ice with David Blaine.
Okay, when you were, let's say elementary school age.
Okay.
So second grade Patrick.
Yeah.
Were you a teacher's pet? Were you one of the kids that was everybody else is being loud, but I'm not?
Okay. Well, now I'm going to open this envelope to see what your answer for me was.
Uh-huh.
And I can't make out this chicken scratch.
Oh, sorry. I said no. I don't think you were.
No, I was not a teacher's pet. Mm-hmm. But I was mostly just a quiet, well-behaved kid. But I was not a tattler.
Uh-huh.
And I would occasionally get into a little bit of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Were you a teacher's pet?
Yeah, I would say I was probably
You didn't let me hand you my envelope.
Oh, I'm sorry. Here, let me.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, so I was describing all the setup for mine, but you also brought a safe with you.
That's right.
That Sarah verified previously, mm-hmm. who you had never met her before.
I had never met her before.
You never met your girlfriend before, but
verified. She verified it while hanging upside down, chained inside a tank of water.
Yes, yeah. that the safe had been sealed with your envelope inside
for
this question. And I'm going to go ahead and open up the safe.
Open the, yep. The combination is 8.
And then pull out mm-hmm. the envelope also in a block of ice.
Yep.
And just chiseling.
Yeah, just
the ice block
take
down
your time.
A little bit.
Yeah.
And then removing the envelope. Mm-hmm. And I think your answer, I can't read this either.
Okay, so it says Michigan. I didn't really know what question you were going to ask
sure.
me, so
I just
took a guess. I thought this could really pay off if I was answering, who knows? But I should have gone and said either yes or no. Those are much more common answers to questions.
Yeah.
You were a teacher?
I would say a little bit. I don't know that I was a tattler, but I was definitely... I'm going to be very good,
Yeah, yeah, sure. Can I tell you where I was bad?
Please.
Sunday school.
Really?
And confirmation classes, yeah.
That's why you're going to hell.
Yep, and thank you for laying that out so clearly. Were you not, any kind of, religious classes having, because I found that was a safe place to be a hellraiser.
Oh, yeah, totally. Because what are they going to do? Kick you out of church?
They're not. They, they're God forbids it.
Yeah, I would say, on the scale of how much I cared about being liked by the teacher, and this was in elementary school, that I would say, school was high, religious classes, pretty low.
Yeah, I mean, I took the opportunity to, I think I was, genuinely, bad, like derailing classes, like sitting on the teacher's desk and just like talking to people, like was just bad. Mark, if you want to support that sort of sacrilege, you can go to patreon.com/NintendoCartridgeSociety, where we put up mini-series, once a month episodes. We have just finished making our way through NCS Goes Broadway, where we talked about musical theater. The last episode, we talked about Little Shop of Horrors.
And before that, we did a whole mini-series called NCS Detective Club, where we were talking about the great detective shows of television.
So if any of that is of interest to you, go over there, support us at the 8-bit or the 16-bit levels, and you can get access to those shows.
Yeah, and in January, we're going to be starting NCS Arcade, where Patrick and I will be playing through games that we have never beaten before that are available on Nintendo Switch Online or Nintendo Switch Online Plus Expansion Pack. And we're going to be starting with The Legend of Zelda Minish Cap, which I'm super excited to dive into.
Yeah, and the whole thing may turn out to just be like a Game Boy Advance, like RPG. Like, look, if they put Golden Sun on that thing, which they said they're going to, there's a Fire Emblem game. Like, I think we could live there quite happily for some time. Thank you to our new patron, Austin Ament. We appreciate you being here. And then I just want to plug our Discord. If you are not already in our Discord, hooking up with people so you can play the new Mario Kart DLC, or just talking about it, you should get in there. Email us at NintendoCartridgeSociety@gmail.com. And I will send you an invitation to the Discord. Mark, are you ready to spend all night talking about DLC?
Let's do it.
D and L and C. We're talking about downloadable content for first-party Nintendo Switch games. And the reason that it's on my mind right now, I'll start by saying why I think we're doing this episode, is because we're sort of coming to a close with Nintendo's DLC plans. The release of the Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, the last wave of it this week, means that that's sort of like the last like ongoing thing. You know, they did Smash for a while, where it was always kind of like, when is the next Smash character going to be announced? And that was the same thing. Mario Kart picked up immediately where Smash left off. And now we are closing that door. And it sort of seems like, you know, with the exception of just a handful of other things, Splatoon 3, Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, we are shutting the door on all these games that have DLC coming to them.
Yeah, I mean, and I completely agree with you, and I was talking about it on Tuesday. I feel like we're in the twilight years of the Nintendo Switch. I know that yesterday at Nintendo's like quarterly earnings, they had a presentation and they were talking about they're continuing to say they're in unprecedented territory with the Nintendo Switch, and going into its eighth year, they anticipate still like supporting it and kind of pushing the boundaries of what a console generation is. And yet, it definitely feels like we are, you know, wrapping things up. And it feels like with the last wave of the Mario Kart 8 Deluxe Booster Course Pass coming out yesterday, that, you know, you have Mario Kart 8 Deluxe at the beginning of the Switch's life. And now
and at the end,
and
right.
At the end, and it just feels like a nice
it's the alpha
to the
and the omega
to the whole experience.
Also, it's sort of like the pre-alpha in that it was available on Wii U. I mean that there's definitely a nice like amount of poetry to it, but like the fact that we are like approaching all these end dates for DLC, like Side Order from Splatoon 3 is really the last thing that we know about. Like, that's the thing that more than... Because we've had, you know, Switch launched with Breath of the Wild and Snipperclips, right? These are two games that both would have DLC. And, like, they've not really, with the exception of, like, sort of 2020, where Nintendo doesn't put out that many games generally, they don't really let off the gas until this year in releasing new games that are going to have DLC support.
Yeah, I mean, even games that previously I would have anticipated to have DLC, like Tears of the Kingdom,
sure,
doesn't. They are, you know, putting that on a shelf. It's a complete experience.
Yeah.
And they're moving on.
I mean, like, and sort of strangely, too, right? Like, Pikmin 4 could have easily had DLC. I suppose it's not impossible that at some point they announce that there is going to be DLC for, like, Super Mario Brothers Wonder, but, like, or WarioWare Move It. But, so, like, so far, all these games are, as far as we know, going to be launched feature complete.
Yeah.
Or have launched feature complete.
Yep.
I projected into the future because I saw that Super Mario RPG was also on the list, which has not come out yet.
But that would be, it would be kind of crazy if it had...
If it had DLC.
DLC.
I mean, I do think that that is one of the things that we will, like, kind of notice as we go through the years here is that, you know, one of the things that the Switch has is a lot of ports from the Wii U and from generations, like, way earlier. Ports, upgrades, remasters, whatever. And a lot of those come out and are done, right? Like, there's no reason to have DLC for Metroid Prime Remastered, for Link's Awakening. You know, like, it just, it doesn't make sense. What you're getting is, like, the plussed up version of it already. There's no reason to add anything to it.
Can we sidebar for just a second? When we're talking about, like, Nintendo's next hardware.
Yeah.
Which feels like it is coming next year, but who knows if that is actually true. What'll be really interesting to see is this, in the Switch generation, they were able to port a lot of Wii U games over as, like,
right, yes,
kind of like filler titles, you know, new to the vast majority of the audience, titles that fit neatly in, like, a January or, you know, first quarter launch. But with the next generation, they won't have that. They'll have further back catalog that they could, like, remake or something, but right. No, like, really obvious, oh, yes. Let's just, like, port this over.
Assuming, of course, that the new thing machine is backwards compatible.
Right, which, big assumption at this point.
Big assumption, but, like, my God, I hope. This applies to both, like, games, like, individual games like that they can port, but also, like, libraries, right? We've got, through a Nintendo Switch Online, access to the NES, Super NES, Game Boy, Nintendo 64, and Game Boy Advance, and Sega Genesis libraries. And the Game Boy ones aren't huge at the moment, but, like, the rest of them are just about, you know, to the point that they're full. Nintendo 64, I guess, also needs a handful more. But, like, those sorts of easy hits aren't going to...
Right, where does it go?
They're not going to be
where
a lot of those.
There?
So, yeah. Where indeed. It'll be fascinating to see... what Nintendo does next, just as it always is. But I am terrified that we're on, like, the crest of Nintendo, right? Like, you think about almost every time they have a massive success, the next thing is, like, bad or at least not successful. That doesn't feel very likely at this point, but you know, I mean, who knows?
Yeah, I feel like on Tuesday, we should dive into the presentation that they gave at the investors conference. Because
yeah, I agree.
I thought it was a fascinating look into how Nintendo is operating. All right, sidebar closed.
Okay, the sidebar has been closed. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go through year by year of the Nintendo Switch's life, and we are going to look at every single Nintendo game that has received first party DLC support. Sometimes this means stuff you got to pay for. Sometimes it means it's free. And then we are going to, by year, award one of the games a seal of quality.
Yeah, that's right. So every official Nintendo product now comes, like, on the bot packaging with a official Nintendo seal to show that it has kind of like a star, like, sunburst pattern.
Yeah, yeah.
To show that it's official Nintendo product. But back in the Nintendo Entertainment System days, in, like, the early days of the NES, it had an official Nintendo seal of quality. And this was because before the Nintendo Entertainment System came out, there was a big video game crash in the United States with a glut of just really terrible video game product. And so this was kind of Nintendo's way of saying, we are guaranteeing
this is a good one.
That this is good, and you should feel okay buying it.
Yes, and there were a couple, like, unlicensed games that made it to, like, the mass market that did not have this seal of quality on it. And they were always, like, weirdly shaped, and, like, the color on them is wrong. And so they did sneak a couple by. But So we're reviving this concept of the seal of quality.
Exactly. Yeah. So each of us will have one for the year.
Yes.
So
for each year.
For each year. So there will be the seal of quality Mark's version and the seal of quality Patrick's version.
That's right. And if we decide to award our seal of quality to the same game, it becomes an official Nintendo Cartridge Society approved quality DLC support. We didn't workshop this language.
No, I think it's concise and beautiful.
Thank you. So we're going to encounter some problems early on, in that what year we want to count something for. Right now I've got everything organized by release date. Some of these games didn't really get the support that they got in the year they were released. So we're just gonna, you know, crash that car when we come to it, right? And in the meantime, we're just going to talk our way through the DLCs year by year and start awarding seals of quality, Patrick's version, and seal of quality, Mark's version.
That's right.
So we got to start where we got to start, with The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, kicking off 2017.
Yep, March 3rd, 2017, launch day of the Nintendo Switch. The DLC, which was available at launch, or at least you could buy it at launch. None of the actual content came out at launch, for $20, comes out in two waves. The waves are the Master Trials and the Champions Ballads. Champions Ballad. Those came out June 30th and December 7th, respectively. We talked about these kind of recently, right? Because we had a conversation about if there was going to be DLC for Tears of the Kingdom. What that would look like. So I don't know how much we want to like go back over what all of this was, but like, you know, a couple months after people had been like through Breath of the Wild, and like most people are, you know, you and I were both like beating the game leading up to Master Trials, and then it came out and just gave us a reason to go back into it, which I think. I don't know. How do you characterize like the experience of the Zelda Breath of the Wild DLC like bringing you back to the game?
Yeah, I honestly can't remember if I was done with Breath of the Wild like 3 months later, like by the time that the Master Trials came out.
Yeah, almost 4 months later.
Yeah, yeah, or if I was done just a few like 4 weeks ago or something. So going. But I don't remember going back into the Trial of the Sword, because like Heroes Path mode, that was fun.
Yeah.
It showed you on the map, like everywhere you had been. And I know that I used that to say, oh, I haven't been to this area.
Right.
So let me go and like look for Korok seeds and like all of that kind of stuff. But that was really what I used the most. I did play Trial of the Sword, but I don't remember. I did never beat it. It was too challenging for me. But I don't remember like the getting into it again to be that hard. So I feel like I must have still been basically playing Breath of the Wild. But the Champions Ballad, which I really enjoyed, but I do remember re-entry into it being hard.
A little rough, yeah.
Only because, like, you know, it picks up exactly with the expectation that you remember how to control the game. And Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom kind of control weird. And
oh, so, they definitely
like,
do.
You know, it takes a while to get that muscle memory of like, oh, I hold this to pull the bow and then change
right.
my arrow using yes. like this button, like all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So and I remember that being tricky. And I also remember like ultimately having like kind of more fun with just the new armor pieces that were spread out in like treasure chests that are like hidden in the world and getting these like little riddles on like where to find them. And that being really like cool and rewarding. But so I don't think we will end up going like this deep into each set of DLC because we don't honestly have firsthand experience with all of these sets. But like just like at a blush, like is this good DLC for Breath of the Wild or was it bad DLC?
I thought it was good DLC.
Yeah,
I enjoyed the Champions Ballad a lot. You got to hang out with Cass more. You got to hang out with all of the champions more. There was a
you get
new...
to see a baby Sidon.
You get to see
Prince
a baby Sidon. Mm-hmm. The challenges were fun. I don't know. The Champions Ballad was a lot of fun and was like for $20. it felt very worth it to me.
Yeah, it's also kind of telling how much of the, or how many of the features that came in the DLC were then just included standard in Tears of the Kingdom. It's as though they were like, the things that we added are so crucial that they are just like fundamental parts of this Zelda formula. So, you know, even if it's not like the most like fun on its own or meaningful on its own, the DLC is impactful, right?
Yeah.
Changes the formula going forward.
Yep.
All right. So the next game also out on that same date, of course, is Snipperclips. It came out on March 3rd, 2017. For $10, you could get the Cut It Out Together DLC pack, which was available on November 10th, the same year, 2017. There are two new worlds to explore with a bunch of different puzzles, new Blitz games, I don't even know what those are, and a sticker mode. I sure did buy this and didn't turn it on at all.
I sure did buy it too. I had a ton of fun with Snipperclips.
Snipperclips is
You're
great.
Two like naughty pieces of paper.
Yes.
I guess you can be up to four naughty pieces mm-hmm. of paper that are, you like cut each other in by
overlapping.
By overlapping. Yeah. You could cut each other and then make different shapes and use that to solve puzzles. Ton of fun. Lots of personality. Really love Snipperclips. Bought the DLC. No question. Never turned it on.
Yeah, and like honestly, at that point, it's just a charitable donation to the developers of Snipperclips.
It's true.
Which I like for me, like ends up kind of putting it in the sort of like Snipperclips felt like a complete experience. I don't know that having more levels in it was really, you know, I didn't stop playing the game because I maxed out on the experiences in it. I stopped playing because Sarah and I, you know, got bored and like had our fun and had our experience with it.
Yeah.
So. I think this one is probably just like ranked a little bit lower on my list if we were ranking these, which we're not. Next up, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, which is now we have to just start the conversation of what year do we put this in?
Right, because the game, you know, released 2017, but the DLC didn't start happening until 2022.
Right, and doesn't finish until 2023.
Which also, wild, 5 years later. The game is still selling insanely well.
Yeah.
And they add 6 new waves of content.
Well, so I was thinking about this, right? And you know, it's amazing that the game started to receive support so late in its life. But also currently the latest numbers on Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is that it sold 57.01 million units. So 57 wow. million units, which means that Mario Kart 8 Deluxe as a platform sold about as well as the Xbox One. Isn't that nuts?
That is so crazy.
Like it sold better than the Super NES.
Yeah.
So I mean, just as a platform, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is one of the, you know, top. What would it be? Sorry, I'm just looking at the list. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. One of the top 15 selling platforms of all time.
Yeah, amazing.
An outrageous accomplishment. Where would you like to put this as far as our conversation, you know, for what it competes against for the seal of quantity? Quality. Why do I keep doing that?
So I could go either way. My initial thought was that it should go in 2022 because that's when the DLC started releasing.
Mm-hmm.
But the list is long and that's a potentially slippery slope. Although I feel like that and Ultimate are really the two games that would be most affected by it. I say let's just leave it be.
Okay. All right. So it stays in the year 2017. Again, we kind of started the episode talking about this DLC. It's an absolutely ludicrous amount of content. It doubles the number of courses in it. 8 courses every 3 times a year, I guess. So every 4 months for 2 years. It ends up adding 8 new characters, custom item modes, a music player, 18 new Mii outfits. It's just a ton of content.
Yeah, I am so glad that this exists. Like, same. It's been so much fun. I will say that I think maybe just because I haven't been playing it consistently like I was when 8 Deluxe first came out, that the new courses don't really stick for me because right. I played a ton of the original courses in 8 Deluxe, but the new ones, I will usually go in, play a little bit, and then, you know, like bounce and not go back to it as much anymore. Although someday we're going to have to complete.
I can't even talk about it.
We'll basically be doing double the amount of work to definitively rank all of the courses in Mario Kart.
Right. It took us two episodes last time.
Yeah.
To rank the initial 48 tracks. We'll have to, I think, rank the next 48 tracks and then zipper them together.
Now, I don't want to be, I don't want to tip my hand in any way, but I am going to pose a question to you.
Hard to beat.
Yeah.
This one?
Yeah. Where it's like, do we want to wait until the very end to award our seals of approval? But, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe Booster Course Pass, especially the fact that it is included if you are a subscriber of Nintendo Switch Online Plus Expansion Pack. It's just an incredible amount of content in an incredibly fun game.
Yeah, I mean, I will just like push on the question a little bit of like, it is more content than we ever see come to a game in terms of DLC. But you know, you said that like they're not as sticky, partially because you're just not playing it as much. But like, you know, the visual fidelity on these tracks are like they're kind of less than and like there are still some things where it's like I wish I could make like a playlist of tracks, you know, like build my own circuit or whatever. The music player thing is like they added a music player, but not the kind that we would want in like our wildest dreams. So like it is giving a ton of content, but I just wonder if that content is as meaningful. This may still also get my seal of quality, but I just want to like push a little bit against the idea that it's perfect.
Yeah, I definitely, I don't think we'll encounter any DLC on here that's perfect.
Hey, me neither.
but I totally hear what you're saying.
Next up is ARMS. ARMS was released on June 16th, 2017. The DLC for ARMS, hey, it was free. So it's basically every 2 months. So in July, there was a new character, Max Brass, with his stage. And then in September we got Lola Pop, another new character and her stage. In November we got, Misango, new character, new stage. And then also the end of November we got Springton, which was sort of like evil Springman, or like robot Springman or something. I didn't really play that much ARMS. And then, in December, so like rounding out the year, we got the final new character, which was Dr. Coil and her, secret lab stage. Which means that ARMS started with 10 characters, and by the time its final DLC character came out, it had increased the roster to 15. So, like, you know, a third of the game's final characters weren't in the initial release. This is the model of DLC that I kind of hate. Because the first of these DLC characters comes out less than a month after the game came out, which means Max Brass was done. Why wasn't he just in the... And I guess it's because they had to, like, put out a bunch of games for, like, launch, Windows, Switch, whatever. But, like, I don't know. This bugs me a little bit.
Yeah, my memory is that they talked about this around in some, like, investor meeting, and not specifically ARMS, because around this time, and I feel like they haven't done it as much in the past few years, they would like ARMS, Kirby Star Allies, and Mario Tennis Aces all follow this kind of like drip feed model.
Yeah.
And they talked about it as a way to like keep people engaged with the game, or like basically like
they're marketing beats.
Yeah, exactly. So basically keep the game in the conversation for about a year is how they were trying to like space these things out. I am kind of like agnostic when it comes to ARMS. I remember playing the demo. I remember you owned it, and it never really captured my imagination that much. But yeah, this is not my favorite type of like drip feed of content.
Yeah, I mean, I think even in something like Mario Tennis Aces, where there's like, and I guess like ARMS, like at least tried to have this like the sort of like meta game of like people playing competitively and adding new characters to the scene that like changes that meta. I suppose ARMS could have had that if there was a big like scene behind it, as we're about to talk about with Splatoon 2. Generally speaking, I am sort of underwhelmed by the ARMS DLC. Should we just talk about Splatoon 2 now?
Yeah.
Splatoon 2 came out July 21st, 2017. Had sort of like regular free updates for a while.
Which I feel like we can't count.
Because it's part of what the game is, right? It's like a live service game. What we can count, however, is the Octo expansion, which would come out the next year, June 13th, 2018, is $20 and is included as part of the Nintendo Switch Online Plus expansion pass. Although there was not at its launch because the NSO Plus expansion pack didn't exist yet. So I spent $20 on this DLC.
And I played it when it was part of expansion pack, kind of like in the lead up to Splatoon 3. Octo expansion was just way too hard for me.
I agree that it's too hard. I also think that it rules, though. Like, the amount of it that I was able to muscle my way through was super fun. And if I was a hardcore Splatoon guy, I think I would be all about doing these. Like, the single player modes of Splatoon are fun. Like, the story modes are fun. I like them. Like, having a version of it that's a little bit more, it's just like a little bit arcadier, where like the challenges are more discreet and like more exacting on you. Like, it gives you do it with this weapon, do it with this weapon, do it in this, like, you know, razor thin time frame. Was really cool and fun. I think Octo expansion is actually pretty rad. But will that get our seal of quality? Who knows? Mark, you want to lead us through one?
Yeah, Pokken Tournament DX released in September of 2017. $15 for two waves of DLC. Wave one released early 2018. A new playable character. Oh boy. Aegislash?
Sure.
Aegislash? And two support Pokemon. And then wave two in March of 2018 was Blastoise as the playable character and two support Pokemon. That feels thin for $15.
It feels thin for $15, but you also have to remember that Pokken Tournament DX was already the original Pokken Tournament with, like, all of its DLC characters, plus the new characters that they added for DX. So, like, it was a game bursting with content already.
Uh-huh.
It does seem like too much to charge for two characters.
It's gotta be Pokken, right? Like, Pokemon?
But it's also, like, Tekken.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, yeah. Huh.
So, it's
we need somebody to say this out loud.
No.
I need somebody official. But yeah, so Pokken/Pokken Tournament DX. Up next was Fire Emblem Warriors. This was the first Fire Emblem, like, Musou type game. Released on Switch, but also on the new 3DS.
That's
as
right.
Well.
Only playable on the new Nintendo 3DS.
But did it get the DLC? I can't remember.
I don't know.
It was just,
I don't remember.
I'm going to say that it was just the Switch version.
He's saying it.
The game was released in October of 2017, and you could get all three waves of DLC for $20, or you could pay $9 for each one. At the end of December, there was Fire Emblem Fates DLC, which introduced three new characters and some new mode maps and costumes.
That's going to be a recurring theme, by the way. Like, each of these...
Oh, yeah, there you go.
They're all three characters, new history mode maps, and new costumes and stuff like that.
Yeah, and some of them have new weapons. So in February of 2018, Fire Emblem Shadow Dragon DLC. Then March of 2018, Fire Emblem Awakening DLC. And if you bought all three in one bundle, you got Lucina the Bride costume because Fire Emblem.
Because Fire Emblem, yeah. So I mean, not just Fire Emblem, but also just Musou style games, right? Like, I think it's a Venn diagram of horniness that.
Yeah, I feel like Fire Emblem, you know, they got popular with Awakening and Fates as well, that, like, they had this sort of, like, marriage mechanic and everything. And then they've rejected it. They've been like, we don't actually want that to be part of Fire Emblem, seemingly.
But it does, I guess you're right that it hasn't been like a mechanic of the games really since then. That, like, sort of incidentally you can get married in, like, three houses. And there's, like, a little, there's not really romance at all in Engage.
Can, yeah. And come on, rings It's in the engages in the title.
Right.
Wait, can you get married in three houses?
Can't you?
I thought it was just like, hey, we're good friends. Good job. Thanks for taking me to tea all those times.
Okay, well maybe that's it. Maybe I don't know the difference between friendship and romance. but you know, I feel like all of the warrior style games are sort of limited by like what they're all. First of all, every Warriors game is so content rich. There's just so much stuff in each one of them that the idea of adding more to it always exhausts me. So this is a DLC that I'm like, I would actively reject if I were playing Fire Emblem Warriors at all.
So let's talk about Super Mario Odyssey,
yes.
Which the game was released in October 2017. And in February, they introduced some free new content, Luigi's Balloon World,
yes.
Where it's like an online mode where you hide a balloon somewhere in a Super Mario Odyssey kingdom.
And it just has to be a place that you can reach.
Yep. And then somebody else has to try to locate it and like get to that area.
Right. And so it ends up being a lot of like extreme platforming to get to whatever far out of the way space someone else got to pop this balloon. Mark, did you mess around with Luigi's Balloon World?
Just a tiny bit. I am not a advanced 3D Mario platformer. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not doing the stuff where I'm tossing Cappy, bouncing on him, tossing him again. You know what I mean? Like, it was just
it's
not
a
happening.
Jump, a throw, a dive, a bounce off the cap, a throw again, and then dive. And this time you dive through the cap.
Yeah, that was just, there was no way that was happening. And so Luigi's Balloon World wasn't very fun because the people who seemingly were participating in it were the people who were very good at platforming.
So I participated in this a lot. Uh-huh. and I really liked Luigi's Balloon World. I can see where it's alienating for it. Like, if you have to have that that technique nailed in order to do it. I thought it was a really fun way to just like add you know, new little waypoints for you to hit, because that's really all a lot of those moons are, is like get to this specific spot on the map. And this was just an infinite source of them. So I really liked Luigi's Balloon World. I get why it didn't light the world on fire. And then there were three more outfits that were added to the game, including one from Super Mario Sunshine.
Yep.
So that's cool.
And also there was Toy-Con VR support
released
right. in April of 2019.
Outrageous. And then we round out the year with Xenoblade Chronicles 2, which Mark and I famously don't play the Xenoblade games. December 1st, 2017. The DLC for this was $30, and there were a bunch of drops sort of like throughout the first couple months that the game was available, like one a month with the new items, quests, challenge modes, stuff like that. And then in September of the next year, September 14th, 2018, that's when Torna, the Golden Country, released, which was, I think, originally billed as just like DLC, like a separate quest DLC, but they ended up selling it as like its own packaged game.
Right. And so I think if you bought the season pass, I can't remember how much
yes.
Torna, the Golden Country went for. Maybe it was $30.
I think that's right.
By itself. But yeah. I have no experience with any of this because I didn't play Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
If you bought the expansion pass, you actually got access to Torna, the Golden Country, a week early.
Oh.
So the people who were buying it on its own had to wait till the 21st. Like, suckers.
Do you know what I... So we've reached the end of 2017, but do you know what I think is so interesting? Is that there is only... Every Nintendo first-party release that year
yes.
had DLC, except...
Flip Wars. Yeah.
Which, if you remember, this was a downloadable title available on the eShop that I believe... So, in the Wii U era, or in, like, at E3s and stuff,
yeah.
Nintendo would show off these tech demos, and they were things that, you know, maybe Miyamoto was working on.
Was there, like, a big hammer one?
Yeah, maybe.
Something like that?
But there were, like, all these different, like, prototypes, and eventually sometimes they turned into games like Steel Divers on the 3DS and, like, that
yeah.
sort of stuff.
Well, and didn't Star Fox Guard, like, an
I
early version
so.
Of that sort of
yeah.
was part of that, like,
and so,
tower
and,
defense kind of thing?
And so Flip Wars, my memory anyways, is that Flip Wars was one of those demos And I think basically what they were came down to is, like, Nintendo internally had created what they thought was, like, oh, this is fun gameplay. And sometimes they were able to map it on existing IP, which I think is what happens with Nintendo games a lot, like, is how they're developed. But then some of them didn't, like, were just released kind of, like, as is. And Flip Wars is one of those that they packaged it up as a game, but it didn't really become a thing.
And they never added DLC to it.
They never added DLC to it. The most important part.
Right, for this conversation. All right, well, now that we've been through all the 2017 games, it feels like we have no choice but to award. I mean, you may award your seal of quality however you choose. I got to put it on Mario Kart 8 Deluxe.
Yeah, you know, the only one that gives me pause is I did really like the Champions Ballad in Breath of the Wild. But I think I agree with you. It's hard to award it to anything but Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, which means in our first year, we are actually these two awards combine and become the NCS seal of quality.
Much more concise than what I was stumbling through before. Mark, let's move on to 2018. You've already mentioned Kirby Star Allies. That's the game that we kick off the year with in March 16th, 2018. There are three free waves of DLC that they never make you pay for any of this stuff. In March, we got three new dream friends that can join Kirby on his mission: Mark's Gooey and the Rick, Kine, and Koo combo. In July, we got three more friends: Adeline and Ribbon, Dark Meta Knight, and DeRoach. And then in November, we got Heroes from Another Dimension. This time, we got four friends: Magalore, Tarzana, Susie, and the three Mage Sisters. Kirby Star Allies, not a super sticky game to begin with. I kept meaning to go back to check out the new allies or the new dream friends. But, like, you know, I don't know if they're not there as I'm making my way through the first and only time I'm going to play the game, this doesn't really register for me as anything.
Yeah. Yep. I agree. And then next was Pokemon Quest.
We need to talk about this just in general. There's a bunch of there are three different Pokemon games that released during the Switch's life cycle that are basically just live service games launched on Switch and on, like, mobile and PC.
I think they don't count.
I think we just got to remove them.
Yeah, I think so too.
Blow them out the airlock.
Yep.
But we had to bring them up.
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
Acknowledged and released into space.
That's right.
So then Mario Tennis Aces is the next game, originally released in June of 2018. And a really similar model to Kirby Star Allies, there were regular updates throughout the year for free that added new characters. Plus, there were, like, bonus monthly online tournaments. Also, they kind of reworked the story mode because it was notoriously difficult.
Well, it was not just that it was difficult, but they were getting rid of some of the friction between, like, how long it took from being defeated in one to starting the challenge up again. That before you had to, like, go through the, like, defeated cinematic, get kicked out to the main world, engage the thing again, watch that opening cinematic, and then lose the challenge in the first 7 seconds, and then spend, you know, another minute getting back into it. And that's a lot of the stuff that they trimmed out of there.
But yeah, like, for me, Kirby Star Allies, the Mario Tennis Aces, they're following that ARMS model that for a while Nintendo was pursuing.
Particularly for sports, right?
Right. And maybe we'll see that again when it comes to the most recent golf game, but because I can't remember exactly what that
the golf game is on here. We will encounter it, but like just like Strikers kind of had the same thing too.
For
whatever reason, the wealth of characters, 10 characters were added to this thing over the course of a year, and I don't know, it at least seemed kind of fun to me to have these new characters and just like the gameplay refinements to take out the things that, but you know, by the time I stopped playing it, that's when they were like, let's make this better now. Next up is Captain Toad Treasure Tracker, a game that I love. Came out on July 13th, 2018. The special episode was released for $6 on February of 2019, which had 18 new challenges, 5 new courses, including courses based on levels from Super Mario Odyssey, New Donk City specifically. Love to get new levels in Captain Toad Treasure Tracker. It's just, And I know it's $6, so really, what do I expect? But it's not quite enough. It's not. It wasn't a like juicy enough meal to really dig into. It was one of those where like you beat it in like 45 minutes, and you were like, okay, now what?
Yeah, interesting. I have never played all the way through Captain Treasure Tracker. I don't think.
Oh, it's so good, Mark.
Yeah, I feel like I should pick it up at some point. Up next is Super Mario Party.
This is a weird one.
Yep. So
buckle up for a weird one.
So it released in October of 2018, but it didn't get a DLC update. It was until April of 2021. It was a free update that included online play for three game modes. Mario Party, which is the basic mode. Partner Party, 2v2 Mario Party, and then mini games.
Right. And I remember saying at the time, this is exactly one pandemic too late, because for a long time, it was the only Mario Party on Switch. And, you know, it's fun enough. I think Super Mario Party is a fun game. It has sold almost 20 million copies. So it's a successful game for Nintendo and for the franchise. But like, man, if that online had come out a year before in the first like month of the pandemic, I could see playing Super Mario Party online with friends.
Yeah. I think you hit on it, though, with the perpetual seller. I mean, we were just talking about on Tuesday. It is part of a $99 bundle where you get Super Mario Party and a pair of Joy-Con. Like, this, it sold almost 20 million copies. And so I think it in the same way that it makes sense to a minor, like, this to a lesser degree, to give additional support to Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. I think it also makes sense to give like these niceties to Super Mario Party.
Right, but unlike Mario Kart, they're not trying to sell anything with it, right? Which like, you know, just again like going back to the list of best-selling consoles, Super Mario Party is a bigger platform than the Wii U. And about the same size as Meta Quest 2. So like, you know, but behind it, sold less than the GameCube, but actually about on par. I feel like they probably could have sold some kind of DLC for it, but nope, just a free little update 3 years after the game came out.
Next is the heavy hitter.
Yeah.
For 2018.
Possibly the heaviest of heavy hitters.
It's a Super Smash Brothers Ultimate.
Yeah.
Game released December 2018, and I'm not going to run down every character that is included.
Right.
You know, first, if you pre-ordered the game or you paid $5, you got Piranha Plant. That was in January. And, you know, Mii costumes up the wazoo. Just left and right throughout this entirety. But Fighter Pass 1 and Fighter Pass 2 runs from April of 2019 all the way to October of 2021. Every few months.
Two and a half years, basically.
We are getting a new character to just bolster the roster of this already stuffed game even more, making it just more and more impossible to ever surpass a Super Smash, you know, like Super Smash Brothers Ultimate, making it really hard for the next folks.
Right. So over the course of those 2.5 years, they added 12 characters, if we're counting the Piranha Plant. The only real strike that I have against this is that the DLC is as expensive, if you just add it up, is as expensive as the game itself. So $5 for the Piranha Plant, $25 for the Fighter Pass 1, $30 for Fighter Pass 2. That's $60.
Yeah.
So like, they get you to buy Super Smash Brothers Ultimate twice, effectively, which is a pretty big strike against it when you consider that like you got the first 60 characters or whatever for $60, and then have to pay $60 for the next 12. Like, the sort of value proposition is lopsided there. But especially in the moment, it was just so exciting when they were coming out. I know, did you get either of these packs?
I have Fighter Pass 1, but I did not buy Fighter Pass 2.
Yeah, and I did, but I waited until, like, the second character was, I can't imagine it was Minecraft Steve. It was maybe Sephiroth that made me go, like, all right, okay, I'll get into it now. But, I mean, I also bought a couple of the the Mii Fighter costumes, especially the ones that had like music tracks associated with them, like Sans or Shantae or Cuphead, because they are like greater transformations to the characters. Yeah, this is a behemoth that's a hard one to beat for the year. Mark, that's sort of it. Everything else in 2018 did not have DLC, and that's, you know, including Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze, Labo, Pokemon Let's Go, Pikachu and Eevee, and of course Sushi Striker, The Way of Sushido. Where do you put your seal of quality?
For me, it's got to be Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
I hate to agree with you again on this, but Super Smash Bros. Ultimate is going to get the Nintendo Cartridge Society seal of quality.
All right, let's dive into 2019 with a heavy hitter right out of the gate.
Tetris, my game of the year every year since the day it came out.
Tetris 99, originally released in February of 2019. And 2019 is when they, was it the end of 2018? Or when did they start charging for Nintendo Switch Online? It must have been like the end of 2018.
Yeah, it must have been September, right?
And then in 2019, they introduced a Tetris 99, which was like the first big thing outside of, hey, you get to play online.
Right. Yeah.
And then just a few months later, in May, they introduced Big Block DLC, which also came with, like, they released a physical version of the game. And this introduced CPU battle, marathon mode, two-player share, and local arena.
Yeah, Big Block DLC is, like, crucial for if you want to play the game offline, or if you want to explore any of the, like, non-just straight-up Tetris 99 game modes. It kind of turns Tetris 99 from, like, an addictive, perfect single experience to that plus a bunch of other experiences that, like, look, if I'm on a plane and I want to play Tetris, I'm still going to be able to play Tetris 99 because I've got the Big Block DLC. And it's $10, which, you know, the game itself was free with Nintendo Switch Online, which is $20 for a year, right?
Right.
That's nothing. It's no money. It's less than $2 a month.
I feel like I might have bought this. I honestly can't remember.
Yeah, I bought this the second it was available. This may be my immovable object here. Moving on from Tetris 99 to Super Mario Maker 2, all of this all of these updates were free. You know, it's sort of in the same vein as like Splatoon. Like, that's the gimmick of the game, is that it is constantly being like updated. But Super Mario Maker 2 updated in like kind of drips and drabs. And then went quiet for a long time. So the first like big fix, or the big addition, came at the end of 2019, in December, where we got like Spikies, Pokies, I wrote Spies. That's not right. What, Spinies maybe? Pokies, Frozen Coins, P Blocks, Dash Blocks, the Master Sword, Ninja Speed Runs. There are all kinds of like things that were added then. And then quiet for another couple months. And then in April, they dumped everything else that they had been working on seemingly. And then were like, that's it. No more updates for the game. So not nearly the same like regular cadence as the original Super Mario Maker. I don't have them off the top of my head, but do you remember how well this game sold? Like, I think it wasn't the platform that Nintendo decided to support in the long run.
Yeah, it's really, I feel like Super Mario Maker 2 is a little bit of a mystery, and I don't think we'll ever fully understand what happened there. I don't know if it was because of like COVID cutting things short or priorities changing.
Yeah, that's true.
Something like that. I think Mario Maker 2 is one of those interesting cases where the second game in so many ways is improved over the first, and yet it did not capture the imagination in the way that the first game did. And I don't know if that was because the Wii U control tablet type thing made it so much easier to do like the editing. Like, I don't really know what it was, but it feels like Super Mario Maker 2 did not live up to the what it could have been.
Yeah, it didn't occupy the same mindshare. And also just like looking at, I looked up sales numbers, 8.42 million.
Which, that's a lot.
Which,
that's a good amount, but Yeah, I, you know, the update that I think was most interesting to me was the one that came in April of 2020.
Yeah.
That included the World Maker, which is such a good idea, and yet...
It's an idea so good it should have anchored the release of the game.
Right.
Right? Like, it should have been like, the here's why Super Mario Maker 2 is different. It should have been Super Mario World Maker.
Yeah.
Right?
And
like,
And, you know... But because by that time, I, anyways, was not, like, I remember checking this out a little bit, but, and not in the way that I think I would have been engaged when the game first came out, and I was playing through, like, the Nintendo-made levels and all of that stuff. But it does feel like there's something missing, and maybe it's because in the different, what do you call them, like, styles, there was, it's seemingly space for something else.
I mean, that... and not just seemingly, like, it was, you know, the four styles that were in the original Super Mario Maker, and then it said additional styles, and that's where 3D World was. And then there was, like, space for three more, but just the fact that it said additional styles, plural, led me to believe that they were going to add one as part of DLC.
Right.
So it's like, that was definitely cut.
Yeah. So it just feels like something happened with Super Mario Maker 2. That we'll probably never get the full story on, but it just doesn't. Yeah, for whatever reason, it just doesn't feel like it lived up to its potential.
What's funny is, like, in my mind, I was like, oh yeah, obviously what happened here is the pandemic shut everything down. But like, the last set of DLC came out in April of 2020. Like, COVID was like brand new at that point.
But I wonder if like that was basically already done.
Yeah.
Or like close to wrapping up, and so they could ship that, and then internally they had to like scramble to figure out, oh, what are we going to do? And so some of that stuff just got dropped.
Right. That makes sense.
Then next up is Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3: The Black Order, which
again is a Nintendo published game.
That's right. Originally released in July of 2019. For $20, you got three waves of DLC, plus you got Deadpool as a bonus character.
I think more games should embrace this theory of DLC. If you buy it, you also get Deadpool.
And this was character packs, basically. So in September of that same year, you got characters from Marvel Knights Curse of the Vampire. In December, you got X-Men Rise of the Phoenix characters. And in March, you got Fantastic Four Shadow of Doom.
Which, like, a lot of fun characters being added to Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3. This is a game that you had and played.
I did not beat it.
And that we were always saying we should play together.
Yes.
And never did.
No. But, I mean, we
played... How much would your experience have been improved if you'd been able to play as Iceman?
On a scale from 1 to 10 Iceman?
Yeah.
10.
Yeah, I think so too.
Next, we get to Fire Emblem Three Houses.
Here we go.
From July 2019. For $25, you got three packs.
Another one that's a little bit of like a drip feed, and ultimately, like, it was just like kind of giving out like new auxiliary battles and like items and stuff. Eventually, Anna was added as a character, like as a playable character. She's the merchant character who shows up in a lot of these games. That was in November of 2019. And then in February of 2020, the Cinder Shadows like story content, which was like a side thing that
it was like a mysterious like fourth house that was living in the basement.
They live in the basement, and come on, how can you not love that?
I love Three Houses. I did not pick up the DLC.
I did, and I started the Cinder Shadows, but you know, it was me going back to the game 5 months, you know, and being like, what was I doing?
Uh-huh.
What, you know? I think this is cool. $24.99, I feel like, is a lot for what ultimately abounds to a single like side story, like, you know, four mission, four chapter kind of thing. So I feel like this is okay DLC, and also kind of like what you get used to with Fire Emblem. Next up, a weird one, Daemon X Machina comes out in September of 2019. Doesn't really seem worth detailing what the DLC is. It's all cosmetic, which is the kind of thing that leads you to, you know, buying an eye patch for $1.
Ah, yes.
I included a link here, and maybe we'll put it in Discord too. It is truly like a nightmare sea of just like downloadable aesthetic things. I had not really remembered that Daemon X Machina had DLC. So I went kind of like poking around to see if there was like some kind of consensus on like, here's the DLC you should get, or like, here's the stuff that's actually, I found a Reddit post where they were discussing this. And like, it seems like everyone's like, oh no, it's like, don't bother even like looking at it. Mm-hmm. There's nothing here. So if we have like an anti seal of quality, I'm going to put it on Daemon X Machina, I think.
In October, we had Luigi's Mansion 3, and the DLC was in two packs in early 2020 for $10. It was focused on multiplayer.
Yeah.
So in March, we got Scarescraper mode and some new mini games. And then in April, some more Scarescraper maps, yeah, and then Scream Park modes.
I gotta say, DLC or multiplayer in like multiplayer modes in Luigi's Mansion 3, not something I touched.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I played like multiplayer local with like one person controlling Luigi and the other person playing Luigi. That's fun.
Uh huh.
These sort of like competitive arcadey like bite-sized game things, that was never something that I was super interested in.
And then finally we have Pokemon Sword and Shield, which originally released in November of 2019. And for $30, you got two waves. And this, when it was revealed in 2020, is a little bit of a, I would say, like, watershed moment, only in that,
yeah,
it
changed Pokemon forever.
Exactly. Instead of getting a third version or, you know, like, Ultra versions or something like similar, we're getting DLC for the first time. And, you know, Scarlet and Violet follows the same mode. It just seems to be
just a little bit more expensively.
It just seems to be like the expectation for how mainline Pokemon generations will be extended going forward.
Yeah. And again, this is a case of the games are massively successful. So the platforms that they become, you know, that they can sell $30 games within them, makes them a better bet than like the Wii U or whatever.
Yep.
So yeah, the Isle of Armor and the Crown Tundra.
That brings us to the end of 2019.
Mark, where would you like to put your seal of quality?
This is tough because
2019 is a tough year.
I did not buy or play the vast majority of these. So by process of elimination, because literally the only one on here I engaged with, it's going to Super Mario Maker 2.
And I'm going to give mine to Tetris 99. So we've got our first split decision. The seal of quality Patrick's version goes to Tetris 99. And the
seal of quality Mark's version goes to Super Mario Maker 2.
All right, Mark, let's go into the dark year.
2020.
Do we want to just quickly touch on games that didn't get DLC in 2019? Astral Chain, Box Boy and Box Girl. Box Boy and Box Girl seems like it should have gotten like a bunch of dumb little hats or something. New Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe, Yoshi's Crafted World, like a big, like it feels like that could have gotten DLC, but didn't.
All right, so into 2020, and only three games here.
Yeah.
And only two we're going to count,
right,
that received DLC. So first, Animal Crossing New Horizons releases in March of 2020, becomes a phenomenon worldwide in a way that Animal Crossing had never reached before. And you got a ton of regular free updates from April 2020 through November of 2021. And then,
well, kind of through April of 2021. And then again, we get like the big update in November of 2021.
That's right, because that's when they introduced Brewster,
yeah,
and Harv's Island and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But I would say the big DLC was Happy Home Paradise, a $25 DLC released in November 2021, also included a Nintendo Switch Online Plus expansion pack, and basically like a whole new mode, a whole new game.
And honestly, like, I know we have to give out our seal of quality somewhere here, but I almost don't want to give it to Animal Crossing New Horizons because Happy Home Paradise should have been a separate game. Even from just like a user experience level, when you play this game, you've got to go to your island, like start up the game as normal. Let it like load into it as all the, it takes a long time to do that. And then you got to run to the airport and then choose like, I want to work. And then you go to Happy Home Paradise. And then you're engaging with like this new style of gameplay where you're designing vacation homes for adorable little animal friends. But the fact that you have to do all of that stuff to like get into it, and you can't just like select it from the Switch like home menu, and you can't sell it separately, feels nuts to me. And I know that to use my own logic of like, yeah, but it's sold like 45 million copies, so like it is its own successful platform. That is true, but they could have sold it, I think, to even more people without that.
Yeah, that I've actually never thought about it that way, only because I owned Animal Crossing New Horizons, so I was like, oh, and I had Nintendo Switch Online Plus expansion pack, so I was like, oh cool, I get this thing for free once I figure out how to download it, which
you
ended up being my Achilles heel,
right?
for some reason. But yeah, but that is a really good point. It almost feels like it could have been a Torn of the Golden Country type thing.
Absolutely.
Where it's like, yeah, you own the game, great, $25, it's included. I hadn't considered that it is it's interesting that they're like, oh, like you want it, you have to buy the $60 game and then this additional $25 on top of it.
I don't think it is a robust enough game to make people who weren't interested in Animal Crossing New Horizons buy the base game first and then the add-on.
Yeah.
But I do think it could be compelling enough for, because like there is, this game has its origins in Happy Home Designer on the 3DS, which was just a separate game. And when it was released, that's when they had the
Welcome Amiibo
update.
New Leaf.
Yeah, that's right. And so like you could still do some like the same sort of, there are ways where the Happy Home Paradise mechanics come into New Horizons, but like you can still do that even if they are like technically separate releases.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a good point. I hadn't really thought about it.
Also, for it was just a little odd that the that they were like gatekeeping the holidays for like to keep people from time traveling to them. Like that's what a lot of the updates for Animal Crossing New Horizons were doing, was adding the holiday content, which has prevented people in the first year from time traveling to them. So like that's a little weird. That's kind of stuff that would just be like in the game normally. And I kind of wish that they had a more robust way of supporting the game in the first year that wasn't just, and there are things here and there that they added, but like for the most part, it was just, you know, giving you the holidays.
Yeah,
I get a little cross about the Animal Crossing New Horizons DLC.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't share those feelings. I don't know. I was just fine with the way that it all rolled out. But I definitely see your point. But yeah, Animal Crossing New Horizons, I would say the heavy hitter of DLC for sure.
I would agree with that.
Pokemon Cafe Mix was released in 2020, but we're not talking about those because they're service games.
That's right.
And then finally, Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity. $20 for two waves. You got Pulse of the Ancients, which released the next year in June of 2021, which had an expanded roster, new weapon types, you know, basically the Musou, repertoire. And then in October 2021, Guardian of Remembrance, which introduced more playable characters, new story stages, and story sequences.
So just sort of the basic model for the Warriors games. Where do you want to give your seal of quality?
So I'm going to give it to New Horizons, but I think it's fair if you want to withhold one for 2020. I don't think you have to.
Yeah, I'm going to abstain.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Can I give mine to Jump Rope Challenge, just as that it was a...
Do you know what? Yeah, you can.
There we go.
Yep, you can give it to Jump Rope Challenge.
All right, I'm just going to note this here. Patrick's version goes to a Jump Rope Challenge.
A game with no DLC.
But it itself was a weird
downloadable
little,
content.
That's right. Other games that came out during the 2020, Origami King, Pikmin 3 Deluxe, Super Mario 3D All-Stars, Tokyo Mirage Sessions Sharp FE Encore, Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition. None of these games had DLC.
All right, that brings us to 2021.
And we start here with Pokemon Snap, new Pokemon Snap, which came out in April, and then there was a free update in August that added three new areas, each with day and night versions, and 20 new Pokemon to take pictures of. I'm sure that we talked about this at the time, but I had bounced all the way off new Pokemon Snap, but I like that they added something to it and didn't charge anything.
And then in June, Mario Golf Super Rush was released, and this follows the ARMS, the Kirby Star Allies,
yeah,
the third one that we talked about previously that I can't remember, Mario Tennis Aces,
mm-hmm.
Where these were three updates, but this is where I feel like, I guess maybe this is Kirby-like. You got three waves.
Yeah.
You got new character, new course, and it introduced ranked matches. In September, you got two new characters, two new courses, and CPU skill options. And then in November, you got two new characters, two new courses, and two new modes. So more robust than what we got in Aces. Also on a much...
I actually don't know if that is more robust than what we got in Aces. Because Aces, we got 10 characters over the course of a year. This is five characters and five courses. Although I guess like in golf, like the courses maybe matter more than the characters.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But yeah. I did not play this, so I don't know.
Yeah, great point.
But I think the one thing that is interesting of note to me here is that with the previous games we were talking about, it feels like everything was staggered over a much longer period of time.
Yeah.
Where here it feels very compressed, where they were like, comes out in June, and then August, September, and November, all of this is out.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And we're done. Like, right. We're not, it's not like Aces or anything where they extended support over a longer period of time.
Yeah, and I actually kind of prefer it this way, where it's just like, you know what, we have all this content, we need a couple extra marketing beats, but we don't need 10 tiny marketing beats over the year. We need three extra ones, and that's enough.
Yeah.
And then in July, Pokemon Unite comes out. Constant updates. We are not counting it.
But we are talking about Metroid Dread.
Yeah.
This is another one that is free, but comes in two waves. So the game releases in October 2021. In February 2022, we get new difficulty settings.
Yes.
Dread and Rookie.
Right. So Dread takes the game, which is already pretty hard, and makes it harder. And then Rookie, which makes the game a little bit easier, but does nothing to address the fundamental difficulty problem of the Emmys.
Yeah.
Which was, that's where my brother stopped playing, was the first time he couldn't get past like an Emmy encounter. And was like, how am I supposed to time this this counter? And I was like, no, if you're getting to the point where you're trying to counter the Emmy, you've already lost. And I think if you're not in the mindset of like, well, I'm just going to die a bunch of times getting through this room, I'm never going to be able to, you know, you're never going to be able to do it. And that's where he's not. He's a big Metroid, like a huge Metroid fan, could not broach that part of the game. And this easy mode did nothing to solve that.
Yep, yep. And then in April of 2022... introduced Boss Rush Mode, Survival Rush, and Dread Rush.
So this is and that's it for games released in 2021. This one feels like a slim pickings kind of year, doesn't it?
Yeah, this is the one where, I mean, I guess I would give it to Metroid Dread because it was free.
These are all free.
But it's like the game of the three that I played.
Yeah.
And yeah,
I didn't play it, but I'm going to, I played Dread. I'm going to give this to Mario Golf Super Rush.
Okay.
Just because that feels like a robust, set of things to add to a Mario Golf game.
Do you know what? Maybe this, I'm going to abstain from this year.
You're abstaining from this year.
I think so, because here's my deal.
Yeah.
With the difficulty settings in Metroid Dread. Is I also was looking forward to Rookie Mode, because I cannot beat the last boss in that game.
Yeah.
And I have two options, I feel like. One is to get good, and I'm not going to do that. And the other one is to backtrack,
right,
and try to collect like more missiles and stuff.
Which you're also not going to do.
Which I'm not going to do.
Right.
But if he was just easier to beat, That's all I want.
Right.
And I will never get that for Metroid Dread.
It is a genuine problem that the rookie mode is... I like the challenge of Metroid Dread. I think it is always fair. And like, if you're looking for a real challenge, like the game gives it to you, and not enough Nintendo games, you know, have that throughout their like identity. But it should also be accessible for people who want to play it. Like there should be a genuine easy mode for Metroid Dread. Which is also part of the reason why I, you know, like protest vote against it, I guess.
So yeah, I guess no Mark's version for 2021.
Do you want to just quickly look at the games that didn't have DLC to see if you want to arbitrarily give it to one of them? I mean, that's the Game Builder Garage, Mario Party Superstars, the Miitopia port, Super Mario 3D World, and Bowser's Fury. Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword HD, WarioWare Get It Together. A lot of big games, but again, like a lot of ports, right? Miitopia, right. Super Mario 3D World, and Skyward Sword, none of those were going to get DLC.
Yeah, I mean, Bowser's Fury, not kind of DLC,
right.
But yeah, I'm not going to give it at all in 2021.
All right, Mark abstains, which brings us to 2022.
Another year with a lot of games that
yep.
Ended up having DLC.
Which, you know, we just had two kind of quiet years. So, we start the year with, Nintendo Switch Sports, Mark. Remember that game? Came out in April, and then by the end of the year, at the end of November, they released, a free update, which allowed you to do the, leg strap mode in soccer. So you could like use it for like the full game, and also added golf.
Yeah, that's right. And then Mario,
because there were only six sports in there to begin with, right?
And
so like
golf is a pretty, do you think it was, I can't remember if they addressed this, was, do you think it was because like the motion controls were challenging to get right?
I don't know. I mean, the fact that it was released, that the game came out in April and then the DLC here didn't come out until November,
which was delayed because originally it was supposed
right.
to come out earlier.
Right.
And they ended up pushing it back,
which, you know, like normally I'm like, they had all this stuff ready. They just, but like, it seems like they were still working on golf.
Yeah. Mario Strikers Battle League was released in June of 2022. And this is another one that, to me, follows the Mario Golf mode.
Yes.
Three free waves pretty close together in June, just like 12 days later, or 11 days later, got in June. Two new characters were added, Daisy and Shy Guy, plus like a new stadium. And then in September, Pauline and Diddy Kong were added with the stadium. And then in December, Bowser Jr. and Birdo were added with a new stadium as well.
Right. So all of the content was out within 6 months of the game's release. I think it's so funny when they add new content 2 weeks after a game is released. Like, new characters. All right. And then next up is Xenoblade Chronicles 3, which came out in July. This was $30. We're starting to like hit this like upper 30, and we'll see some 35s actually coming up here. Xenoblade Chronicles, there are sort of four waves of DLC that all came out between July 2022 and April 2023. And you know, it's all new characters, new outfits, including swimsuits and nostalgic outfits. And then in April, the final wave included a like story scenario, which is called The Future Redeemed. I think it's a little bit along the same lines as Torn of the Golden Country, but not quite the same scope. And it was not released as like a separate game experience.
Up next was Splatoon 3. And we're still waiting Side Order, which is coming out spring of next year. But it's $24.99 for two waves. Inkopolis, which released in February of 2023, which introduced like this new hub world to Splatoon 3, but an
right.
old hub world to
from Splatoon 1.
Uh-huh, including yeah. Callie and Marie from Splatoon 1. This one feels weird. Like... nothing like
we can't really evaluate it at this point because the Side Order isn't out yet.
Yes, exactly. Side Order feels like actually what you're paying for in Inkopolis.
Absolutely.
Like doesn't, other than being cosmetic, doesn't do anything new.
It's just also weird that Inkopolis has been available since February, and Nintendo's just been sitting there with your $25. Like, if you bought it because you were like, oh, the first wave is coming out, I'm going to get it now. You know, it's going to end up being over a year between Inkopolis and Side Order coming out. Like, that feels...
Oh, wow, yeah.
It feels like a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, just sort of a weird little thing there. Then we got Mario plus Rabbids Sparks of Hope, which actually leads me to...
Yes, I was just looking that up because it means that we missed Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle in 2017. So here, I'm going to run down the DLC for Kingdom Battle.
Okay, great.
It is... there was a season pass for $30. Donkey Kong Adventure was a DLC.
Right.
And then there was like a Pixel Pack and an Ultra Challenge Pack.
So that one was really like, there's the Donkey Kong stuff and then like, you know, weird little add-ons. So where like the Donkey Kong was like the real thing. And I think Sparks of Hope is a little bit more spread out in as far as like which of its waves, which of its DLC packs were like genuinely worth it or like genuinely additive to the game. Three different packs came out in March, June, and August. They're Tower of Doom, The Last Spark Hunter, and Rayman in the Phantom Show, respectively. And each one, you know, either introduces a new game mode or a new planet or just like new story content. So like each one seemingly pretty meaty of additional experiences.
And then Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, which released in November of last year. Another one that the final piece of DLC won't release until next month. But this is a $35 two-wave.
$35.
You have the Teal Mask, which released in September of this year, and then the Indigo Disc, which will release on December 14th.
And from what I can tell, impressions of the Teal Mask is really like the same as impressions of Scarlet and Violet. The people that are able to look past the game's flaws are like, yeah, this rules. I'm having a great time. I'm so happy to have the Teal Mask. And the people who were upset with how the game performed originally got the Teal Mask and were like, this still sucks. So it feels like it is effectively delivering on the Pokemon thing. $35 is a lot of money.
Yeah.
Where now to get the full version of a Pokemon game, you need to spend $95.
Yeah. Wow.
And then, of course, as we said, Indigo Disc. We don't know what that's gonna really be like. But that is the of the two like DLC packs is the one that feels crazier to me. Like you're going to this school in the middle of the ocean where it's like a biodome with like four different So it seems like they went crazy with that one, and I think that could be fun to experience.
And in some ways it's like Metroid Other M, the perfect breeding ground for Metroids.
Yeah,
you know, all those different biomes.
That's true.
The Metroid Other M was in space, but this is
in the water.
This would be in the water,
which, ask James Cameron, they're basically the same.
The same. Well, all I'm saying is look out for Metroids in the Indigo Disc. I am going to give my NCS Seal of Approval Mark's version to Nintendo Switch Sports, which going through this list reminded me that this game exists. but it was a ton of fun, and I am going to be visiting family over the holidays.
This is
great.
I should
bring this.
You absolutely should.
And we should like play some golf.
Yeah. Do you have a leg strap?
I do have a leg strap because I bought it physically. Fit. Yeah.
Oh, because you bought the game physically. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So do you have two leg straps?
I guess I do. Wait, did I buy Nintendo Switch Sports physically, or did I buy it digitally? Now I'm doubting myself.
Yeah.
I think I bought it.
I'm sorry.
I think I bought it digitally.
Mm-hmm.
Because I. No, I think I don't know. I don't know.
All right, we don't know. We'll never know. So I'm looking at this, Mark. I think that's a great choice. I may end up there as well. Just because, like, I don't know, the rest of these, the Splatoon, the fact that Side Order hasn't come out yet is perplexing to me.
Are you, because you bought Octo Expansion and liked it, are you thinking that you'll see what Side Order, like the reception to Side Order is,
yeah,
and then maybe end up picking it up?
If Side Order, because we haven't, like, we've seen just, like, little snippets of it in the most recent Nintendo Direct, but, like, Yeah, when there are like impressions of it out there, if it seems like fun, I will I'll at least think about getting it. I don't know if that's a day one for me. Look, I'm gonna go out on a limb and go with a Mario plus Rabbids Sparks of Hope. It seems like they added cool stuff to it. Rayman is a playable character in one of these. So I'm gonna give the seal of quality Patrick's version to Mario plus Rabbids Sparks of Hope.
Finally, let's talk about games that don't have DLC in 2022 real quick.
Yeah.
So Bayonetta 3, Fire Emblem Warriors 3 Hopes, the other Musou Fire Emblem game, Kirby and the Forgotten Land, Kirby's Dream Buffet,
mm-hmm.
Pokemon Legends Arceus, and Triangle Strategy.
Yep. And then that brings us now into the current year, 2023. We're in the only game that has received DLC, first-party Nintendo game that has received DLC is Fire Emblem Engage, which is a $30 DLC pass that I bought immediately and put it on my collector's edition version of the game. So I, as I'm grumping about them making you pay $95 for the new Pokemon game, I spent like $130, I guess, on Fire Emblem Engage. And so it comes out in four waves, all really quick. The game came out in January, and the first wave also comes out the day the game is released. And then again, early February and early March, with the final wave four, coming out in April. Each of the three waves basically just introduced new paralogue stories where you would unlock new emblem characters, which I found always to be fun and rewarding, and really liked having those characters in my party. And then the Fel Xenologue is sort of a like parallel universe where the bad guys become good and the good guys become bad. So like, it's just more like messing around with like the basic component parts of Fire Emblem. I sort of think it's a blast. I know it's our only choice.
Yeah, I mean, I will say we do have to remember that during 2022 and 2023, that's when Mario Kart 8 Deluxe was actually releasing DLC. So right. There have been other DLC releasing in 2023.
Yes.
It's just not from a game that released that year. And, you know, you brought up this point at the beginning of the episode, but I think it's possible that something happens next year with Pikmin 4, especially with the success that Nintendo has been touting with Pikmin 4.
I would actually be a little bit surprised, because, like, they're touting success with it, but, like, it didn't sell that well, right?
I mean, it's for a Pikmin title, it's sold incredible. It's like already the best-selling Pikmin title.
Yeah, okay, but that is a qualifier that is damning it entirely.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is that they invested a lot in growing the Pikmin brand. They were successful in growing it, and
yes.
So I think there's a possibility that they will try to continue that growth, and one way they could do that is by introducing new content to Pikmin 4.
Yes, I think that is totally possible. A quick Google tells me that Pikmin 4 has sold 2.62 million units.
Yeah, and they spent like 4 or 5 slides in their investor presentation talking about what a success that is. So I think they're very happy with the success of Pikmin 4.
I agree with that, but I'm also like, why would they, especially if it's like something that they were trying to sell? Like, I don't think they're going to sell any DLC. Which is also funny because, like, you know, some of the other data points we have here were, like, Captain Toad Treasure Tracker. Like,
right, or, like, any of the RPGs we talked about.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I think just, like, RPG audiences are insane. And so they'll...
that, undeniable. In fact, my tip of the hat in 2023, insane RPG audiences.
I'm giving
mine the good fight.
I'm giving mine to Fire Emblem Engage. No questions asked, actually.
Yeah, I think I will go ahead and give it to Pikmin 4.
Just like on the conditional that like it might
it
happen
could happen.
Someday. What do you think about just before we move off of it? Super Mario Brothers Wonder. Is that game just done? And
I do think so. Yeah, unless we're getting another year of Luigi or something.
Oh, we should move on. all right, Mark, let's close this out. Woo! Do you have any overall thoughts from what we just experienced about the quantity and quality of Nintendo's DLC, or even just like what DLC can actually like mean for a game?
I think looking back on it, it's interesting to see their strategy of free content updates.
Yeah.
And the way that they drip out those character updates, and especially in the beginning, how they were, it felt like really prolonged. And that was something that they talked about as a like specific strategy. But then in the later part of the Switch's life, they've started shrinking those windows and just kind of getting DLC out like incredibly quickly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, on the subject of Fire Emblem Engage, our winner of the Seal of Quality Patrick's version for 2023, it's four waves of DLC that all come out within 3 months of the game's release.
Yeah, crazy.
Like 2.5 months of the game's release. And, you know, Engage has this, like, story that it was basically been sitting on the shelf ready to go for over a year. So, yeah, it is a bizarre... they have a weird relationship with it. And I wonder if we are so much seeing, like, the end of this generation... through the DLC plans, or if we're really just seeing the infinitely compacted release schedule of these things, where like they're becoming less and less concerned with having those multiple marketing beats and are more just like, no, you know what? It's better if we put out Tears of the Kingdom and it just has everything in it.
I'm also struck by the number of, if you look at overall Nintendo first party releases, that there are not a ton that have paid DLC. There's a good amount.
Yeah, sure.
But like there are so many Nintendo first party games that have either free updates or no DLC at all.
Right. Well, and it's been like games that you're like, this is a flagship thing. Like, why is there no paid DLC for Super Mario Odyssey? Like, charge me $15 for like a new kingdom.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm there.
Yeah. A lot of like it was purely, I think, speculation, not even rumors. There was tons of like speculation that they would, because it just kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
And it's interesting when you don't get that. And they seemingly don't have like any interest in it.
Yeah.
Like, again, a lot of these games have paid DLC, but it seems
like there could be
like,
more.
Yeah. It feels like pretty particular when they choose to do that.
Yeah, weird stuff all around. I would love to hear other people's thoughts about Nintendo first-party DLC on the Switch. Just get in the Discord and talk about it with us in there. Email us NintendoCartridgeSociety@gmail.com, and we will send you an invitation. That's going to do it for this episode. Thank you to our 16-bit patrons, Connor McKay, Patrice Millette, and David Henley. We appreciate you very much. We appreciate everyone who listens to this show. Join the Discord. Anthony DeLuca made our logo. Our theme music is provided by 8-Bit Betty. You can get more of his music by going to 8bitbetty.com or by listening right now. For my co-host, Mark Mitchell, this is Patrick Ehlers saying thank you for listening. Yeah, what's up?
I'm going to run and check just real quick, but I'm almost positive I bought Nintendo Switch ports physically.
Okay.
I think the cart is in my Switch.
Okay.
I'm just going to grab it real fast.
Okay. Mark's going to check to see whether he bought Nintendo Switch ports physically. Here's the thing is that I remember us having a conversation about it at the time, and I was like, yeah, I'm just going to get that digitally. Let's have a look. Mark pulls the cart out.
Yeah, I did. I did buy Nintendo. So I guess I have two leg straps.
You have two leg straps.
Yeah, there we go.
It's an embarrassment of riches. You could do like two.
I can play against myself.
Could you put on two leg straps and do like soccer for real?
Well, I feel like that should be some sort of like speed run.
Yeah, like playing Dark Souls with a Guitar Hero guitar.
Instead of like, it's like one person, two controllers.
Yeah, I think we shouldn't riff on that at all.